Hey y'all, Latasha here. Just a couple of things before we get into tonight's episode. I normally will read over stories that I get just to fix any errors or anything like that to make it easier for me to read. And also, if I see any words that I don't know how to pronounce, I will look them up to make sure that when I start recording, I say those words right. Well, I forgot to do that on this episode. So, I mispronounce a word, and I want to apologize for the person that sent in this story. I call it Lake Topanamus. Don't laugh at me. Don't make fun of me. The correct pronunciation is Lake Topanamus. So when you get to the ghost story segment, that's what I meant to say, just in case you hear it and you don't know what I'm talking about. Lake Topanamus, not Lake Topanamus. Again, I apologize, but I had gotten halfway through recording when I stumbled on the word and I thought, oh crap, I forgot to look up this word. So I just sounded it out. And I had already recorded too much to go back and redo it, so I decided to look it up as I was editing, and of course I said it wrong. So I just wanted to correct that for y'all, just so that you know what I'm talking about when you get to that part. Also, my husband thought it would be funny to add in bloopers, so stick around at the end after the outro. I put in a gag reel for y'all, so have fun with this episode. Hello everyone, and welcome to Midnight Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Latasha Molidor, and I will be sharing with you my personal ghost stories and stories I've heard from my family members, friends, and other sources. I hope you enjoy. Since spooky season is right around the corner, episode 15 is our Halloween episode. I'll be telling you about the Salem Witch Trials and Sleepy Hollow. Halloween is my favorite holiday, so when I think of these two locations, I automatically think of Halloween because they have so many festivals and ghost tours in the month of October. I'm hoping one day I'll be able to take a trip to visit these places in October to learn more about the history and ghost stories that surround them in person. Then we have a spooky collection of true ghost stories that listeners have experienced with ghosts, the paranormal, and seeing orbs or unexplained lights. Now, when I think of weird lighting in the sky, I think of possible alien encounters. I do believe it, but I have not experienced it for myself personally. However, just recently, there was a news report and pictures and videos all over social media about a possible UFO sighting here in the Austin area, specifically Round Rock, Texas, and I live in the Round Rock, Pflugerville area, so it was definitely creepy. Let's get into tonight's Halloween episode. Salem Witch Trials. The Salem Witch Trials took place in Massachusetts between 1692 and 1693, where more than 200 men, women, and children were accused of practicing witchcraft, and 19 people were hanged. In January of 1962, three young girls were said to experience fits of screaming, throwing things, and contorted themselves into strange positions. The girls then accused three women of inflicting the supernatural occurrences on them. A witch hunt began, and these women were interrogated. Two said they were innocent, and one confessed, saying the devil asked her to do it. They were all thrown in jail. After the trials and executions, in 1702, the trials were declared unlawful, and a bill was passed to restore the good names of the people accused, and compensation was given to their families. Here are some haunted locations to visit in Salem, Massachusetts. The Old Burying Point Cemetery, also known as Charter Street Cemetery, established in 1637. This cemetery is the final resting place for those who were involved with accusing and executing those said to be witches. There was also a memorial for the accused in the cemetery. Some things visitors experience at the cemetery are a heavy feeling of sadness, seeing orbs, shadows and apparitions, and capturing EVPs. Some people have even seen a ghost called the Ghostly Lady in White, a man wearing a suit and tie, and a woman and son in the back corner of the cemetery peeking out at visitors. Many people have caught apparitions in photos taken here. Proctor's Ledge. Once called Hanging Hill, identified as the hanging site of the Salem Witch Trials in January 2016. Up until then, the hanging site was thought to be Gallows Hill. It took years of debate and investigating the true location of the executions. Part of the evidence was nearby neighbors of Proctor's Ledge stating that they had records of seeing the hangings take place at this particular location. The 19 falsely accused witches were hanged here at Proctor's Ledge and their bodies discarded nearby. It was said to be dangerous to touch the corpse of a dead witch or warlock, so the bodies were discarded and not given proper burials. Some family members of the accused would sneak around the area at night to find their relatives in order to properly bury them, but if caught, they would also be executed. People have caught sight of apparitions and heard disembodied voices at this location. There seems to be an overall sensation of a dark energy in this location. People have also experienced cold spots and seeing orbs in photos taken in the area. The Salem Witch House. Purchased in 1675 by Judge Jonathan Corwin, the judge who executed those accused of witchcraft. While no witches lived in the home, because this house bore witness to the Salem Witch Trials, it was then called the Witch House. There was also Corwin's Curse. 8 members of the Corwin family died premature deaths in this home. The location is part of a ghost hunt. When guests enter the home, they have been said to hear disembodied voices and feel very cold. A few items that can be found inside a wall in the home are witch bottles that contain urine, hair, pins and nails used to attract and capture witches, a black shoe to protect the house from evil, and a poppet, a doll used to cast spells. Sleepy Hollow. We've all heard the story of the legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving, published in 1819. The story of Ichabod Crane, who visits Tarrytown, New York, an area in Sleepy Hollow, known for its spooky ghost stories and mysterious supernatural occurrences. While riding his horse through the forest, he then encounters the Headless Horseman, a ghost believed to be that of a soldier who was beheaded by a cannonball during battle, who uses a jack-o'-lantern as his head. While this story is not true, although based on some facts, Sleepy Hollow, New York is still known to be a very haunted ghost town. Here are some haunted places to visit in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Sparta Cemetery. This cemetery is outside of Sleepy Hollow in a town called Scarborough. People have seen unexplained mists, unusual lighting, and disembodied voices while visiting this location. Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. This is the burial site of Washington Irving and many other famous people. Visitors have seen apparitions and can hear silent whispering within the cemetery. Patriots Park. This park is located between Sleepy Hollow and Tarrytown. A soldier was captured by Americans during the Revolutionary War and was beheaded. People began to see a headless apparition throughout the park, which is what Washington Irving created his tale from, which would become the Headless Horseman in the legend of Sleepy Hollow. Old Dutch Church and Burial Ground. This is said to be one of the oldest burial grounds in the United States. Some say they have seen the Headless Horseman here as well, traveling through the area. A few people that Washington Irving's characters were based off of can be found buried here. Now let's get into some true scary stories. Personal paranormal experiences. I always believed I was sensitive to the paranormal and had a heightened sixth sense. My father's family came from a very dark background. I could sense that my grandmother was a very evil woman. The biggest sign was always the emptiness and evil I could see deep in her eyes whenever she looked at me. It wasn't until a few years back I've proven myself right. My parents left to live and work in another country while my older brother and I were being taken care of by the grandma. We stayed with her in our parents' house for about 2.5 years, and the amount of paranormal occurrences that started happening ever since she moved in with us was absolutely insane. The room that me and my brother used to share at that time was to stay away from at all costs for me. I started sleeping in the living room every single night because of the amount of negative and dark energy I would feel being even near our room. Mind you, I never felt anything like that until my grandma moved in. It was this dreadful, dark feeling of something creeping behind me and watching over me whenever I would step inside that room or stand near it. Every time I would walk next to it, I felt like I was being watched. I would get chills all over my body, and what I would do was I would close the door so tightly and rush back to the other side of the house. However, for some reason, I would constantly find the door wide open, even when I was alone in the house. Many times I caught my grandma being furious about me closing that door. It seemed very suspicious, as it was such a small, dumb thing to get mad over. That was only the beginning of our experience with her. I would have constant nightmares, which would make me sob after I woke up. They were terrifying, and after some time, I felt very unsafe in the house. I would wake up to horrifying, loud door slams in the middle of the night. Sometimes they seemed to happen right next to me, and sometimes very far away. It would happen for a week straight, and I would start checking the doors as I was getting very annoyed at the fact that someone is slamming the doors, but they were always closed. That eventually stopped, but I continued having frequent nightmares. I started finding my grandmother sleeping in the living room bed near me. It was quite scary as I would find her sitting straight up looking at me, or the wall in the middle of the night. I would often wonder if she sleeps at all. It was very terrifying for the 13-year-old me back then, waking up from a nightmare at 3 a.m. to my grandmother staring at me wide awake or silently looking at the wall. Sometimes I would talk to her and try to ask why she can't sleep. However, I would never get an answer back. One night, I had this nightmare in which everything was the same. I was sleeping in the room with her. In the dream, I woke up and started getting close to her as she was asleep. I felt like I was going to hit her for some reason. As I was about to do it, in the dream, she opened her eyes wide, grabbed my hand, and that woke me up. I turned to the side and actually saw her staring back at me wide awake with this furious look on her face. I started questioning everything in that moment. I was terrified. Not long after that, I started finding these weird-looking objects all around my house. The thing is, they were always black, and I would find them in the most stupid places ever. It's as if they were being hidden. So one day, as I was taking a shower, I noticed one of the objects on the water heater, which was very high up. After I asked my grandmother to have a look at it and take it down from there, she got angry, cussed me out, and pushed the object even deeper on it. I knew there was no way for me to take it off myself, so after some time, I let it go. There was another weird experience with her. One day, I went to the gym, and because I had eaten very little the past few days, I passed out mid-workout. I decided to call it a day, go home, and relax. As soon as I got home, my grandma was all over me asking if I was okay and how I was feeling. I felt very weirded out by it and asked her why she thought there was something wrong. She had told me that day, almost around the same time I passed out at the gym, she had a blackout where she couldn't see anything and everything was black. That was one of the weirdest experiences I had with her, which scared me the most. Throughout my entire childhood, I was told by everyone that she used to do very bad things to people and that she practiced witchcraft. I started being afraid for my life at some point. Why and how did she know that I passed out in the gym that day? Why does she have a blackout? I was worried that my own grandmother had cursed me and somehow linked herself to me. I had no explanations for any of these experiences, and I still do not have them to this day. I was always depressed and terrified around her, always felt as if she was draining all the positive energy I had. The entire period we stayed with her, I was the most anxious and depressed I've ever been. I never believed in ghosts. This encounter was very real and very scary. Hopefully anyone that is knowledgeable about ghosts or demonic spirits can help me out. I grew up never believing the boogeyman was real or ghosts, etc. In the fifth grade, my mom moved us back to New Jersey from Pennsylvania. I quickly made friends with some of the kids in my apartment complex. Soon enough, we were all riding bikes all over town. Small town, by the way, it's called Freehold. In Freehold, there is this small lake called Lake Topanamus. Behind the lake were bike trails and walking trails. Pretty much, there's a no-outlet street with a rusty gate. Upon passing the gate, you would be entering the woods or trails. First thing you would see is a bulletin board with nothing on it and some wooden rails with caution tape. The trail then forks off two ways, left and right. To the right were the bike trails, and to the left would be the hill that takes you to the lake. At the middle of the fork was like a 40-foot drop. This is where the caution tape is. We would ride these bike trails all the time, but the first time my friends took me there, they said some guy and his son rode off and died. My friends also referred to the spot as Dead Man's. A lot of people in the town know this place. I dismissed it as an urban legend, as every neighborhood has at least one. Fast forward years later, I'm in the 12th grade, same town. After school, I would smoke and drink with my friends. One night, while I was with two of my friends, we decided to smoke. Being that weed was still illegal at the time, we couldn't just smoke anywhere. So we all decided to smoke at Dead Man's by the lake. We walked in and made a left. We walked down this giant dirt hill to the bottom where the lake sat. We then made another left, as there was a dirt trail at the bottom of the hill. We made another left and continued down the trail until we reached the small area with a bench that sat right in front of the lake. We smoked two blunts and relaxed for about an hour or so. We then got up and began to leave. As we started walking back towards the dirt trail, there was a faint holographic-looking object nearby. It looked like one of those doll things that a seamstress would use. It looked like a tuxedo or something. It quickly appeared and vanished. I didn't think anything of it. I was so high, everything was fuzzy. I just thought I was bugging. As we continued to walk down the dirt trail we came in on, I entered a void-like state. It felt like I didn't exist, like my body was on autopilot. Then boom, I came back and we're still on this dirt path. At this point, we were walking kind of single file. My friend had his phone out with the flashlight on leading the way. I'm in the middle and my other friend is behind me. I felt like something was walking next to me, and all of a sudden I hear a loud snap. I told my friend to shine his light by me. There's a thick branch snapped in half. It would have required a lot of force to snap. I turn to him and say, "Let's get out of here." We continued walking. Keep in mind, it's 11 p.m. As we reach the part of the dirt path where we would walk up the hill, I see something further in the woods at the top. At first, I thought it was a deer. How fast it was moving and how far away it was. It quickly got close enough to the point where it was easily visible. It was as bright as an LED light. This thing began gliding down the hill, completely defying physics. It stopped on the trail we were on, staring back at us. It grew super bright and vanished. At this point, we were all in a state of shock. My friend in the back of the line asked what was going on. We remained silent. We all continued walking up the dirt path. Halfway up this path, I felt something clawing me all over. It wasn't physical, it felt internal. I can't really describe it. It was excruciating, and I felt like I was being restrained. At this point, we were almost out of the woods, and as soon as I stepped foot on the paved road, it all stopped. When we got to the car, I asked them, "Y'all saw that, right?" They both shrugged it off like, "Nah." I believe they were too shaken up to even talk about it, because days later, they both confirmed that they saw exactly what I saw. If anyone has any idea what happened to me, I would appreciate your comment. Some other things I forgot to add when leaving the woods. The path changed direction, and I began walking back into the woods. My friend stopped me and asked me where I was going. It's like something was messing with my eyes. Mimic spirit. We had recently moved into a new big house in a small village near the city. The house had two floors, and the rooms were downstairs and the living room area upstairs. At the living room, we had this 10-meter-long balcony door that you could see all the way to the city, as we were the first house of the village. So one night around 7 p.m., I was sitting with my mom watching TV on the couch. My father was taking my two sisters to gymnastics practice. I liked to watch the cars leaving towards the city and disappearing into the distance, so that's what I did with my father's car. After a while, I turned again towards the TV. A few minutes passed by and I clearly heard my little sister giggling loud from downstairs. I was horrified as I just saw my sisters getting in the car and leaving with my father. However, the TV was loud and I reassured myself that it was a sound from the TV probably. Then I see my mom standing up and reaching for the TV remote, and she asked me if I heard my sister giggling. I told her that I did, and together we went towards the stairs. Then my mom called my sister twice with no reply. We stood there for 10 seconds and everything was quiet. All of a sudden, we both hear my father screaming, "Hey!" My mom ran in the kitchen, called my father, and asked him, "Where are they?" He replied that they just arrived in the city. Then my mom grabbed a golf club and together we went downstairs, as we thought it was probably a robber taunting us. We searched every inch of the house, inside wardrobes and under beds. No one was there. This happened in the middle of winter, and all the windows were closed, so this wasn't someone from outside. Bright purple light in the middle of the woods. My parents own a small cabin in the middle of the woods on about 60 acres of land in upstate New York, rural Sullivan County, to be a bit more precise. We call it, rather appropriately, the camp. The small cabin at the camp is nicely nestled in the middle of the woods. There is a mile-long dirt road, also surrounded by woods, that leads to a small dirt lot and a small yard in front of the building. We use this road to get to and from the camp. Behind the cabin is a clearing that is about 350 yards long and about 60 yards wide. The clearing consists of the backyard, the garden at the end of the yard, and a small field directly behind the garden. Other than that, the rest of the property is all woods. Woods that we have explored thoroughly, but a vast amount of woods nonetheless. The cabin is made up of only two rooms, with one room used as the bedroom and the other room used as the living area. There is only one inside wall within the cabin, its purpose simply being to divide the two rooms. Other than that, the two rooms are completely open. The cabin had simple furnishings. In the bedroom, there was a bunk bed and a sofa couch. In the living area, there was a love seat and a sofa couch, a wood stove, two dressers, a coffee table, a rocking chair, and a small TV. That's it. No kitchen or bathroom. We used a gas-powered generator to run the few lights and outlets within the cabin, as well as the TV. We had a VCR hooked up onto the TV and would occasionally watch movies on VHS or DVD. For those concerned about the bathroom situation, there was an outhouse about 30 yards from the cabin. To cook, we either used the wood stove inside the cabin or the propane grill on the small porch overlooking the backyard. The cabin has multiple windows. There is a fair-sized window that allows us to view the front yard. Another fair-sized window on the side of the building that gives us a view of the woods. And a large picture window at the rear of the cabin that gives us a view of the backyard, garden, and field. These windows are all in the living area. There are two small windows in the other room of the cabin, but they are not relevant. Myself, my younger brother by about 3 years, and my mother and father spent just about every weekend at the camp when we were younger. Simply put, we grew up in the woods and we were certainly no strangers to the outdoors. With that being said, I have had my share of experiences, most of which have had logical explanations. However, the event that you're about to hear about stands out because to this day, not one of us can explain it. This took place in the summer of 2008. I was 9 years old at the time. It was a perfectly normal Saturday in June. My brother and I carried out our normal routine of riding four-wheelers, playing outside, catching frogs, and catching salamanders. Nothing out of the ordinary throughout the day, as you would expect. Towards the evening, it started to get chilly, so my little brother and I decided to call it a day and head inside the cabin for the night. I gassed up and started the generator, and we went inside for the evening. Once inside, I filled the wood stove and started the fire to get some heat going as it was going to be a rather chilly night. My dad had just finished grilling the usual chicken, potatoes, and burgers, and he brought the food inside around 7 p.m. We all ate and relaxed for a little while to let our food settle. The sun had just started to set. Fast forward about 30 minutes, and I begin to get bored. My mother then reminds me that she had brought my plug-and-play Wheel of Fortune game with us for us to play. I excitedly went ahead and plugged the RCA cables into the TV and set up the game. The TV was situated just to the left of the big picture window at the rear of the building. It was dusk at this point. By dusk, I mean it was getting darker, but there was still plenty of light to see outside. It was about 8 p.m. At this point in upstate New York, it isn't pitch black outside until around 9:30 p.m. in the middle of the summer. So, there was still plenty of light outside. We had been playing Wheel of Fortune for a few minutes at this point. I was sitting just a few feet away from the TV in a rocking chair. My mother handed me the game back for my turn when it happened. Just as I spun the wheel of the game, this extremely bright purple flash of light emitted from behind me at the front of the building. I turned my whole body around to see what it was and noticed that my parents and brother had done the same. I immediately noticed that the front yard was engulfed in this extremely bright purple light. We all watched as the purple light moved through the front window of the cabin. Once inside, it completely lit up the interior of the building. We all sat motionless, moving nothing but our heads as this mysterious bright purple light passed by us, then proceeded out the back picture window and into the backyard, lighting everything up in its path. The light then sped off through the yard towards the garden. We watched it pass through the garden, then through the field, and just like that, it disappeared into the woods. This all transpired within just a few seconds. I dropped the game as I was in shock. I turned around towards my parents and, already knowing the answer, nervously asked, "Did you see that?" They nodded and said yes in unison. My little brother ran over to the sofa my parents sat on and quickly sat between them. I quickly followed his lead. In the hours that followed, nothing else happened that was out of the ordinary. I asked my dad what he thought that purple light was. He told me that he didn't know. My mother suggested that it may have been lightning, which we all, including her, shut down as soon as the suggestion left her tongue. There was no way that light was lightning. I have experienced many thunderstorms in my life, even at 9 years old, and no bolt of lightning has ever come close to replicating the bright purple light. We all slept in the living area that night, my mother and myself on the sofa, and my little brother and my father on the love seat. We openly talk about that strange purple light to this day, and still not one of us have figured out what it was or have ever experienced anything like it again. We still spend a lot of our free time at the camp, as I mentioned. I have experienced many other things over the years, but never again anything like that light. I have researched logical explanations such as ball lightning and have even researched paranormal phenomena such as orbs, but nothing has ever come close to matching the appearance of that bright purple light that seemed to form from nothing. As you can tell, there are so many fun and spooky places to visit in Salem, Massachusetts and Sleepy Hollow, New York or Tarrytown for the Halloween season. You can also visit the house that was featured in Hocus Pocus, Allison's House, and other famous locations used in movies, which makes it even more exciting. I hope y'all had fun with this episode. I felt like I just had to throw in some fun Halloween stuff for my favorite day of the year. Remember, if you ever experience anything with ghosts, the paranormal, or anything spooky, share your stories with us. We would love to hear them. I know a few people who have shared some stories with me in the past, and I'm going to need to get with them to share them on the show. I really think y'all will be really creeped out by their stories. Happy Halloween, y'all. Stay safe. Until next time, thank you for listening. That's it for this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. If you have a story to share, please send an email to midnightghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. It will be read on the show or send in a voice recording to be played on an episode. Also be sure to follow us on Facebook at Midnight Ghost Stories and Instagram at Midnight Ghost Stories Podcast and subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Anchor. Tune in next time for another episode of True Creepy Ghost Stories. I started sleeping in the living room every single night because of the amount of negative. Ugh. Oh, about to sneeze. Excuse me. Whew. There is a small lake called Lake Tapanamus. Tapanamus? One night, while I was with two of my friends, we decided to smoke, being that weed was a... Fuck. One night, while I was with two of my friends, we decided to smoke, being that weed is still illegal at the time. Oh my God. And all of a sudden, I hear a loud snap next to me. I tell my friend to shine his light next to me. Oh, that's too much.